Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we open your word this evening, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, so that the words that are spoken this evening, Father, are not ours, but they're yours, as he will bring the message this evening, Father, speaking your words and giving us greater understanding so that we can walk straighter, Father, along that pathway of righteousness, and that we can walk in the Spirit and the Spirit with us. Father, now be with Brother Dennis, as he gives to us what you give to him. And we ask this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. I'm having trouble with that YouTube.
Well, it's just goes slow, isn't it?
Says it's going live and it's circling, but it ain't going.
It's just slow, isn't it?
Huh?
Yeah. It's still recording. It may not be going out, but it's recording.
All right, so
I was slightly a bit unaware as I was going to be teaching tonight, so bear with me. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. And we're not going to start in the middle. What we're going to do is start in the middle of it. And the reason being is because first half 17 is actually a follow-on to 16. the second half of 17, that's the beginning of 18, so we'll start in that, start in the middle there. But we're verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said to Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto his disciples, The days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And you shall say to you, See here, or see there, but not after them, nor follow them. For as lightning that lighteth out of one part of heaven shineth unto the other part of under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. For first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they did drink, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out from Sodom, with rain, fire, and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down and take it away. And he that is in the field, let him not likewise return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be 2 men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. 2 women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. 2 men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, it is thither, will the eagles be gathered together. And the eagles they're talking about will be vultures and such. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always pray and not faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me in my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, at least by her continual coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which crieth day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, Shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto them. This parable unto certain was trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, that I am not as the other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called unto them and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest me good? None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said to them, yet lackest thou one thing, so all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how heartily shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard this said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting. Then he took unto him the 12 and said to them, behold, we go to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered up to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh into Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass, and he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before bucked him, and that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive your sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. So let's just go back to the beginning here. And I don't know if you noticed a particular theme in it, the whole mess, but it was pretty much the faithful are the ones that are going to see the kingdom of God, not necessarily the ones that follow the rules, so to speak. Yeah, that was, again, one of the things that was going on with the Pharisee and the tax collector. That's what a publican is in here, is a tax collector. So, let's start back off with 11. And it came to pass, as he went into Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. All right, let me stop right there, first of all. The fact that, that Christ was going through Samaria says multitude of things in and upon itself, because the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. And if you know any history of the Samaritans is one of the tribes that married into the Gentiles. And there's a bunch of other stories about the whole mess back up inside there. In essence, what they, the Samaritans truly were, they were part of the ones that got exiled. And they came back, but they came back with the wives from where they were, wherever they were exiled. And they brought wives back with them. So they were kind of a mixed race type situation, Jews and Gentiles mixed. And some of the original Gentiles that were there that moved in after the exile, they stayed there, and then they also married into some of the Jews that moved in. So it was just a whole mixed race type situation. And the Jews did not like him at all. And that was a big deal at the time. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. Now all these men all had leprosy, and they followed the rules of the time. They stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said to Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." They were begging Jesus to heal them. And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was cleansed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. And when he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, he was a Samaritan. All right, so it doesn't say specifically that what the other nine were, but it implies that the other nine were Jews and not Samaritans. It was the Samaritan that came back and praised God. But the nine, like I say, we're going to assume that they were Jews because of the way the story is written. And also, you got to remember that with leprosy, the lepers were all kind of congregated in one little area anyway, because they couldn't be around other people because of the leprosy. They had little towns set aside, former villages or whatever the case may be. There was nothing there but lepers. And again, the only one that came back was definitely a Samaritan, because it specifically states he was a Samaritan. And the other nine, which again, we all assume the Jews did not. And Jesus answered and says, "Were there not 10 that were cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that returneth to give glory to God, save this one stranger." So he's really chastising the other 9 for not coming back, at least saying thank you. You glorify God in the process of all that. And he said to them, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." And when he's talking about making thee whole, he's talking about a little bit more there than just healing the leprosy that he had. He literally made his whole body and probably his soul whole at that point. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God not cometh with observation. Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And that's what we've been saying for quite some time now. Whenever the Holy Spirit enters into you, actually, he's not going to enter into you until you have cleansed your body. through the repentance and the baptism and the declaration that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And then after that, after you go through a little bit of time of learning the whole thing, then the Holy Spirit will enter into you and will stay with you. And because of that, your body is the temple, which you alluded to. Christ said that, you know, whenever he was talking about, you know, destroy this temple, that's what he was talking about, his body. The kingdom of God is within you, so that's what they're talking about. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, shall I see. So he's letting them know up front, I'm not going to be here forever. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. So whenever you hear of somebody, and this applies today as well, particularly with what's coming down the pike here pretty quick, whenever they say to you, see here or see there, go not after them. What he's saying is, whenever they say, there's Christ, he came back to get his people, or whatever the case may be, or that's Christ over there, don't believe him. It's a lie. And there's already been several false Christs come about. We know that the closer that we get to the end, the more and more of them is going to be showing their face. And we also know that because they're going to be showing their face, and because the Jews are waiting on their Messiah, as a matter of fact, I don't know how many of you know very much about other religions, but you got a Messiah that's coming for the Jews. They say hasn't arrived yet. Got another Messiah that's coming for the Muslims. You got another Messiah coming for the Buddhists. You got another Messiah coming for the Hindus. You know, they all got their own Messiah. And if you actually do some reading and some studying of all these other religions out there, every one of them, it's to the T of what the Bible says the Antichrist is. Every last one of them fits to a T what the Antichrist is. And just, I don't want to get too much off center here, but the Antichrist does not mean that he's against Christ. That's what a lot of people think. That's not what it means. It means in place of Christ. Or he's going to come in here acting just like Jesus did when he came the first time. That's what the Antichrist is going to do. That's how he's, you know, talking about all this good stuff that Christ did when he was here the first time. That's good information to know. But if you think that when he comes back, he's not going to come back as a roaring lion, you're sadly mistaken, because that's exactly the way it's coming. He came as a lamb the first time, and he's coming as a roaring lion the second time. You got to understand these things. A lot of people don't. Now, all they know is the Kumbaya Christ that's supposedly coming back, and that's not true. And they're going to be taken and given the mark and all kinds of other things, and they're going to be betrayed, and that's what they're talking about here. Don't believe everything he said. Because he tells you, matter of fact, the next verse literally tells you how he's going to be coming. There ain't no secret rapture. It ain't no secret anything. It tells you exactly how he's going to be coming back. Don't believe all the garbage you hear out there. For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part under the heaven shineth unto another part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. He's telling you, he's in the clouds. There's going to be a whole lot of lightning. There's going to be a whole lot of racket because you got the trumpet. It's blowing, you know, the shofar that's blowing, you got the shout of the archangel, you got all this stuff. It's going to be a real chaotic time. And believe it or not, most of that chaos is why, you know, the people don't think into it. They just read it. They don't think. You got one event that happens immediately before this happens, and it says the sun and moon and stars will all be darkened. Okay? If there's, you know, because you've got some people say, well, it's daylight, on one side of the earth, and it's dark on the other side of the earth, where it says right there the sun, moon, and stars. We don't say here, but the sun, moon, and stars will all be dark. And then in another section it says, for as lightning that lighteth out from under one part of heaven shineth into the other part of heaven, so shall the Son of Man be. And that's not just written here. That's written multiple places. So you have multiple witnesses to all this. It's worded a little different in different places. And it says the exact same thing, exact same meaning. Okay? Don't believe all the garbage about a secret rapture. There's nothing secret about it. Everybody's going to know about it. And for the most part, it's going to scare the living daylights out of a whole lot of people. That's why there's a whole lot of people going in the caves and in the mountain asking the rocks to fall off, because it's scaring the dickens out of them. However, if you happen to still be alive at that particular point, you shouldn't be scared. You should be looking up, because your redemption is nigh. But first, he suffered many things and be rejected in this generation. And we know that did happen. And as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat. They did drink. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Okay. Stop right there for just a second, because there's a whole myriad of information just in that one little sentence there. And a lot of people don't, again, don't think about that all that either. Okay. So they did eat. They did drink. And they married and gave wives. So one thing that you need to remember is he's separating Noah from everybody else. So he's got the they there. And whenever you correlate that, because it says as in, so when you correlate this to the future, whenever you got the I don't really like to use the word Christian, but I'm going to use the word Christian. Whenever the Christians are getting ready to be raptured out, waiting for the Son of Man. You know, and this is all just in the days, weeks, months prior to. You know, you got one part that says we're going to be going through all kinds of trials and tribulations, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. Trials and tribulations, some of this stuff is going to be going on for everybody. Some of this stuff is going to single you out, and that people have a hard time grasping that. But that's what it's talking about, because this book wasn't written to non-believers. It was written for believers. So you got to separate the believer from the non-believer. Now, there's not going to be a whole lot of non-believers being put in jail for their faith. There's not going to be a whole lot of non-believers having their head chopped off because of their faith. You know, you got to think about it and put everything in the context. So, you know, while let's put a righteous person instead of a Christian. I prefer that word a little better. So you got the righteous person that's going through the persecution. You got the righteous person being put in jail. You got the righteous person being martyred. The righteous person going through all kinds of stuff. He won't take the mark of the beast, so he can't go out and buy food. He won't take the mark of the beast, so, you know, it's his wife or her husband or kids or whatever the case, won't have nothing else to do with her. He's being persecuted by his family. He can't get food. He can't go out and get something to eat. You know, obviously he's not going to go out and find a wife or a husband. You know, all these things. So they're not talking about the righteous person or the Christian or however you want to look at it, the believer. They're not talking about the believers here. They're talking about the non-believer. And I think, very honestly, that if you're not a believer and you're not capable of understanding what's going on, some of these things, while they are bad, you know, you got people like me and Pastor Tony over there saying, hey, the end is here. And you got other people, it's been like this for 2,000 years. Okay, you keep on believing that. It has been, you know, you have had earthquakes for 2,000 years. You have had this for 2,000 years. But other things you haven't had for 2,000 years. You haven't had the internet for 2,000 years. where everybody can hear you and everybody can see you. You know, just a whole myriad of things that have changed. You didn't have the country of Israel for 2,000 years. You know, it only came about in 1948. Okay? You got the whole Dead Sea. One of the prophecies in the Old Testament says that the Dead Sea will start to have life again in it. And there's already fish growing in the Dead Sea. And that was a prophecy for end times. There's all kinds of little bitty things like that, little small prophecies that people ain't paying, a lot of people ain't never heard of, that are happening, and they're only happening right now. You know, there's all kinds of little bitty things that you got to pay attention to. It's not one great big thing. It's a whole myriad of things, and all of them have to fall into place. They all have to fall into place at one time. And I'll give you another prime example. Again, I don't want to try to get too far off the mark here, but you got the banks that are failing, okay? Well, banks have failed before. This time, they're already pushing for taking money out of the equation altogether. Yeah. They're already talking about it. As a matter of fact, the Federal Reserve is going active with their no cash thing in July. A lot of people don't know that either. In July, they're done. No more cash. I mean, we're here. And a lot of people don't understand it. I mean, we are here. Now, I'm not saying that the Fed now or whatever it is the market beast. I am not saying that because I don't believe that for a second. Is it a precursor to it? Absolutely. Absolutely a precursor to it. You got to have all your ducks in a row before you can actually throw the one thing out. And a lot of people don't understand that either. They think it's just going to things gonna happen just like that, and it's not. Take the proverbial frog in the water. You know, you slowly bring up the temperature on that frog. He'll never jump out because he doesn't realize that the heat is getting hotter and hotter and hotter. Well, we're right at boiling point right now, and you know we're all in the water. About time some of us start jumping out of the water. Okay, we need to figure this stuff out. Open your eyes. The only way you can do that is by reading this book and praying and getting right with God. And a lot of people don't. You can tell them, you can show them. I mean, you can physically show them everything that this book says that will happen. And it was written, some of it, as much as 3,000-4,000 years ago, telling about what's going to be happening right now. And it's happening exactly what this book says. And that's what you got to understand. Don't be the proverbial frog. Back yourself out of the bubble. Listen to what's going on. Pay attention to what's going on. Don't add nothing to it. Don't take nothing away from it. Just read it for what it is. You'll see that all this stuff is happening. Another thing that we need to pay attention to is, it says they were doing this all the way up to the day the door was shut, okay, on the ark. All the way up to that very day. So all the way up to the day that Christ comes back, people are going to be doing this stuff. But they don't believe all the stuff. They believe all that secular garbage. You know, we're just having a bad hurricane season. Or you know, it's just they'll come up with some garbage with one of theirs, you know, a lot more earthquakes. You know, one that I've already been hearing a lot of is the magnetic field is going to move a little bit, and it's going to cause all kind of chaos. You know, it seems like every March, April time frame, there's always a meteor or asteroid that's going to hit the Earth, and that happens every year. Every single year, you'll hear these yahoos out there say, oh, we got a meteor or an asteroid that's going to come within a couple thousand miles of hitting the Earth, and they get everybody all worked up. I haven't looked so far, but I'd almost guarantee you there's one that's fixing to hit the Earth right now. Happens every year at this time, bar none every year. All right, so let's continue on. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, and they bought. They sold, and they planted, and they built. All right, so we got a couple things here that are the same, but it's also got some stuff in here that's a little different between the one. So the first one is they did eat, they did drink, Now, here's one that's not in the one for Noah, though. They bought and they sold. Okay? You got to think about that, because literally every word in this book means something, and there's a meaning behind every word that's in this book, and you got to pay attention to a lot of this stuff, you know? So it doesn't say that you and I will be buying and selling. It doesn't say that you and I will be out there planting and building. It says they. That's the word it uses, they. So pay attention to every single solitary word, and you'll see. And when I bring up the fact that they were buying and selling, we just talked about one of the things that's going to happen is they got to do a certain thing to buy and sell. And that's also talked about elsewhere in the Bible. It says that one of the things that's going to happen, you're not going to be able to buy and sell unless you do a certain thing. Okay? And again, they're not talking about the righteous people, because all the people in Sodom and Gomorrah died. All the people that was dealing with the Noah's Ark, they all died. And they're relating these two things to the end times. Remember that. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, the very day, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And the exact same thing that it talks about up here with Noah. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Two separate things that he's comparing to the end times. And both of them, they were like a frog. They were just carrying on about their daily mission, doing whatever it was that they wanted to do, not paying attention. They didn't pay attention to Noah whenever he was telling them. And they didn't pay attention to Lot whenever he was telling them. And certainly didn't pay attention to the angels whenever, you know, I mean, crying out loud, they smote them blind. They just still carrying on the way they were. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. How is he revealed? He's coming on the clouds with a shout of an archangel, loud trumpet blaring, with lightning flashing from east to west. You can't miss it. In that day, he which shall be upon the household and has slept in the house, let him not come down and take it away. If he that's in the field, let him not likewise return back. Remember Lot's wife. And that in itself is a mouthful, because a lot of people can't comprehend that. And I have, we've got a lot of people out there that say once saved, always saved. But this little statement right here in my particular view kind of counteracts that whole once saved, always saved thing. Because what did they do? What happened to Lot's wife? She turned back. She wanted to see what was happening. She wanted to, and it's not because she necessarily wanted to see what was happening, it's because she was wanting to go back. She was wanting to be a part of that community. She wanted to be a part of it. She was looking back on her son-in-laws and father, you know, brothers and brother-in-laws and all this stuff, because their whole family was there. The only ones that came out of there was Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. Okay? Everybody else was still there. You know, had the husbands of the daughters. They were married. All that stuff was going on. And she looked back. She was missing the world. And it tells you right here, and this is Christ's words, don't look back. Don't go back. Remember Lot's wife. Remember what happened to her. Don't do it. You look forward, not backwards. And then that's going to be a hard time. Always look forward, never backwards. Because you may find yourself going back and going through whatever they're fixing to go through. Whoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I'll think about that as well. All right, so, you know, it's real easy to sit here and talk about being put in jail and ultimately going to the the guillotine or whatever method that they come up with at that particular point. I'm just going to use the phrase the guillotine just because it's fast, clean, and easy. But they may use a sword, may use a knife, who knows? All right. The only thing we know for sure is that we'll be beheaded, or at least some of us will be. It doesn't say all will, it just says some will. So, whenever you're in jail, and some could argue that you're going to be in jail for 10 days while they're trying to figure out what's going to happen, because that is one of the things in there. So let's say you are put in jail for your faith, and you're in there for 10 days. And during that 10 days, they're always bringing people in and always bringing people out. The problem is the ones that come out, they never come back. And you know, because you can either see it or hear it, what's going to happen to those. They may even tell you what they're going to do. But the fact of the matter is, whenever they come out, they're going to give you one more chance. They're going to give you one more choice before they chop your head off. And it's, are you going to serve God or are you going to serve our God? You're going to serve your creator, or you're going to serve our God. And they may not use the word God. They may use our president or our leader, whatever the case may be. But the fact of the matter is, if you say no, then you're dead. If you say yes, I mean, who knows what's going to happen. They may turn you loose and give you the mark and send you on your merry way. But you're not coming back into the jail to let them know what's going on. And like I say, you're going to be in there for, let's say, 10 days, and you're seeing all this happening. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're going through a lot of stress. You're starting to doubt things. Well, that's when the devil's going to be on you the hardest. You're going to start doubting. You're going to literally put your life above everything else. And what you don't understand is they could still go ahead and do what they want to do to you to start with, even though you did do that. So you've got to have unshakable faith. And that's what I've been saying for a long time, unshakable faith. You got to be like what Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, whenever they got thrown into the fire furnace. You've got to be just like that, have absolutely unshakable faith. I tell you in that night that there shall be two men in one bed, one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two men shall be grinding together. One shall be taken, and the other one left. Two men shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Now, a lot of people, I'm gonna stir up some controversy here, just as sure as I'm sitting here, but a lot of people will say that the one that's taken, just the rapture. But what if it's not? What if it's not? And I'll give you a reason here in just a second. But what if it's not? What if the ones that are taken are literally the ones that are being taken by Christ himself? I mean, not the rapture, but killed. You know what I'm saying? Because there's two different parables that Christ mentions. This is one. There's another one that says, I think it's in the Matthew version of it, that says that the wheat shall be gathered, chaff shall be burnt, okay? But they gather the chaff before they gather the seeds, before they gather it out. And that's one thing. I mean, you got to pay attention. And then you got another group out there that sees what I'm saying, but then that's where they come up and say that the rapture is all the way at the very end. I don't believe that either. I do, however, feel that Christ is letting us know something. How it's truly going to play out, I don't know. I don't think that what he's talking about here is necessarily the rapture in and of itself. It may be at the same time as the rapture. But the one that is taken, I think, is the tares. Okay, I'll give you this last verse right here, and I'll leave it at one at that. And they said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body thither is well, where the eagles be gathered together. So that's the vulture. That's all the dead bodies. So we know that when the rapture happens, we're taking body, soul, and spirit. We're given a new body. We're raptured at that point. So you got to think about that. I mean, it's not, I don't think that what people think the rapture is, and what I certainly know what the vast majority of people have been teaching of what the rapture is what's actually truly going to happen. I think they got the concept down, but I don't think they got the 1, 2, 3, you know, the definitive thing part of it. I don't think a lot of people understand how it's truly going to play out. And nobody can, truly, because, I mean, that's something that hasn't happened yet, so we don't have anything to look back on. You know, hindsight's 2020, and we obviously, this is in the future, so no matter what anybody says, it's just pure speculation one way or the other. All we can do is take it for what it says, and it literally says right there, whosoever the body tither will leave the eagles be gathered, and he's talking about vultures and things. That's mentioned elsewhere. Like I said, there's another parable Christ gives that pretty much says the exact same thing. Now, is that before the rapture, during the rapture, or immediately after the rapture? I couldn't begin to say. I don't even want to speculate on it. Just wanted to point that out. So, just don't necessarily believe everything everybody tells you. Because nobody knows, to be honest with you. We got our own little ideas that, you know, we can take that and $1.50 and buy a cup of coffee. And that's about as far as you can go. We got our ideas. We know there is going to be a rapture. We know that we're going to be with Christ when it happens. That's about as much as we can definitively say. Anything else is just pure speculation. All right. I'm going to go ahead and stop there. Do you got anything, sir?
No.
All right. Yeah, we'll go ahead and stop. All right, let's go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for the people that's listening online and the people that's called in to listen. Lord, we thank you for all the wonderful things that you've given us, the things that you've done for us, and we thank you for being your children. Lord, we pray that you'll also help us bring more into your fold, particularly our friends and family. For all this things, your sweet name, Jesus. Amen.